This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back. It's a new week here at the Superhuman Nation, and we're starting the week off with a great show. During the first hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Ezard Charles. We're going to be talking about homeopathy, the undiluted facts. It's a new book that puts homeopathic medicine front and center and gives a lot of answers to questions that people have had for a very, very long time. And then, at the top of the second hour, we're going to shock you. It's about prostate cancer. We all know that androgen deprivation therapy is the standard of care for prostate cancer. Well, what if it's wrong? What if, in fact, testosterone therapy ablates prostate cancer? Well, a study just proved that. I believe the scientist that we're going to be interviewing is out of Johns Hopkins. We're going to get into that in the second hour. So without further ado, Dr. Ezard Ernst, how are you, sir?
I'm all right, thank you.
Dr. Ernst, before we talk about your book, let's talk about homeopathic medicine and how you found your way, because you're also an MD as well as a homeopath, correct?
Well, I wouldn't even call myself a homeopath. I'm basically an MD and a PhD. As a boy, I was treated homeopathically. I grew up in Germany, as you probably hear from my accent, and our family doctor was a homeopath. So for me, homeopathy was part of medicine, really. And then I studied conventional medicine, and when I had finished, my first job was in the only homeopathic hospital in Germany at the time. So this is when I became, in a way, a homeopath, at least for a while. I practiced homeopathy. I learned homeopathy and I learned how to think as homeopaths do. And, I was very impressed. People seemed to get better. Patients improved on homeopathic remedies. And I was impressed.
Okay, so let me ask you a question real quick. And this may really solidify the concept of homeopathic medicine for the audience. Originally, when we talk about medicine, going back into the 1500s, 1600s, and 1700s, there was only ever homeopathic medicine, right?
No. Homeopathic medicine is not traditional medicine, as you seem to imply. It's not synonymous with alternative medicine or traditional medicine or natural medicine. Homeopathic medicine was virtually invented by one German guy called Samuel Hahnemann.
Right.
And he published his book called Organon in 1830. So we're talking mid-80s that homeopathy became known around the world. And it is dramatically different from any other school of medicine in the way it treats people. It assumes that like cures like. This is the central tenet of homeopathy, meaning that, for instance, you cut an onion preparing your food, your eyes start watering. For a homeopath, that would be the sign to treat any condition that is associated with watery eyes, like hay fever or a common cold, with onion. And homeopaths don't use the undiluted onion. They're not herbalists. Herbalists might do that. But they dilute and dilute and dilute, and at each step they shake the remedy, a process which they call succussion, and they believe that this shaking transfers some vital energy into the diluted remedy. So this process goes on and on and on until mathematically there's not a single molecule of the onion left. So they're actually treating you with water. And this is why homeopathy is incensing scientists all over the world since 200 years.
Because they say, well, there's nothing in it. And see, that's one of the questions I always had about homeopathy. So when we see some of these things, they say 32X homeopathic. It's 32 times removed from or diluted from the original agent that was in there. So how does that affect a person if the, as you point out, and, you know, I never thought about it. I mean, people who have dry eyes should just cut onions. You know, I mean, this would be a great remedy for people who have dry eyes. But if you basically dilute out the thing that you're saying will help, how does it affect the person any longer?
Yeah, this is precisely the point where people get very, very irritated with homeopaths, because homeopaths claim that it's not actually the substance, but it's the vital force of the substance. It can be put in a nutshell by saying the water has a memory. In other words, you dilute out the actual active molecule, but the memory remains in the dilutant, and not only it remains, but it gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
Now,
and these principles very clearly fly in the face of science, and this is why doctors, scientists, pharmacologists are totally incensed by homeopaths.
Well, not only that, but it's my understanding that Food and Drug Administration doesn't even care about homeopathic preparations, because their attitude is there's nothing in them anyway for us to worry about. That they can't do any harm, they can't do any help, they can't do anything. But you're saying that they're wrong about that.
Well, the Food and Drug Administration in America, the regulator of medicines, has had this attitude for a very long time. In recent months, they seem to be changing their attitude. And in particular, the regulator in the United States is now forbidding homeopaths and homeopathic manufacturers to make claims about homeopathic remedies which are not supported by evidence. So they're tightening the regulation around homeopathic remedies quite a lot.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you dropped out. So, but you're saying that homeopathic remedies do, in fact, work. And
no, I'm not saying that. I was just recounting my personal history.
Okay.
As a young doctor, I was very impressed. I had learned at medical school that these things don't work, yet when I stood in front of my patients, my first patients ever, it seemed to work. So I then went on, became a conventional physician, and did many years in basic science as well. And I began to think much more scientifically and much more critically. And remembering my months in a homeopathic hospital and my experience, I was fascinated by this contradiction. On the one hand, these things cannot possibly work. On the other hand, I had seen that they work. So this contradiction fascinated me, and eventually I became professor of complementary medicine in England. And for 20 years, I researched all sorts of alternative therapies in that position, and we did a lot of research in homeopathy, and I think today I can explain this contradiction if you want to.
Yes, I want to because my initial assumption about homeopathic remedies that work is placebo. Placebo is very powerful. If people think it's going to work, they may perceive that something is happening. You're saying it's not placebo at all?
No. I do agree with you. It's placebo, it's a little bit more than placebo. It's also the empathetic and usually very long and sympathetic encounter with the homeopath that works in the sense of a sort of mini psychotherapy. Homeopaths ask you questions which you have never heard from a conventional doctor, and people feel understood, and they feel maybe for the first time in their lives somebody's actually caring about a health problem that other doctors just wouldn't want to take seriously. So that is very important, the caring effect and the placebo effect. And then there are other artifacts, so to speak, and by that I mean conditions do get better by themselves. The natural history of many conditions is such that they get better. If a cold, for instance, is gone after a week if you treat it, and takes 7 days if you don't treat it. And that is the natural history of the condition. And if you at the same time take a homeopathic remedy, you might get the impression that it actually helps, while it doesn't. So there are many factors playing together. It's not just the placebo, but the placebo effect is very important.
Interesting. And you know what? It makes sense, because in today's medical paradigm, patients feel like they get no attention from their physicians. They feel like the physician is disinterested in any opinion they have. And most physicians spend 10 or 15 minutes with a patient. They never look at the patient. They're looking at a computer screen. They're typing. They're making notes. And then they prescribe a drug and they walk out. And so I can see how having someone appear interested in and of itself could if almost placate the patient until they kind of get better on their own. But what of the legitimacy of some of these agents that they end up diluting out of these preparations? Some of these agents could potentially have benefits if they leave them in these agents. What about that?
Yeah, that is a good question. I've tried to explain that the example of the onion extract. Let's take something else. The onion is not a particularly effective treatment, but if you take an effective herbal remedy, for instance, you prepare it homeopathically, you dilute it just one to ten. This is already called a homeopathic remedy. So this, in your nomenclature, this would be a 1x.
Right.
And this can be sold as a homeopathic remedy. This is just a dilution of 1 in 10, and this can be effective. And this is where a lot of confusion starts, because people say there's nothing in it. For 99% of homeopathic remedies, this is true. But for the not so much diluted remedies, it is not true. Then people say homeopathic remedies are safe. They cannot do any harm because there's nothing in it. Not true. Homeopaths use very serious poisons. Arsenic is a good example. So if you have a 1x of arsenic, you can poison anybody.
Right. Well, we know what comes to mind for me is the standard to this day for treating thyroid problems is Armour thyroid. It's pig thyroid. Porcine thyroid has been well known for hundreds of years. And so if a homeopath took porcine thyroid and put it into a 1X solution, and there is still tissue in that solution, and someone takes it, it would absolutely cure them of a thyroid problem. And that's a perfect example of like treating like.
Not really. It's the opposite. Because a thyroid solution would cure a thyroid problem, you would need like cures. Like means you need something that causes a thyroid problem in order to cure it. That's what homeopaths mean.
So it's
exactly the reverse from how you're thinking.
I would have thought like treats like, meaning the tissue from a pig treating the tissue that is not functioning in a human any longer, using thyroid thyroid tissue to cure a thyroid problem. That, to my uneducated mind, that is like treats like. But you're saying...
No, your mind is probably educated, but it's just a misunderstanding. I give you a good example. If we drink a lot of coffee, we stay awake. At least we think so. So homeopaths use coffee to treat insomnia.
That would kind of backfire. Oh, maybe not. Look, we have to take a break. I want to talk about this on the other side. Obviously, this is something that even Hahnemann talked about. He had actually had theories about coffee causing diseases back in the early 1800s. So let's pick it up with this discussion on the other side. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to questketo.com to order your meals today. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent-pending Andro compounds. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. In the world. Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
She take my money.
Work it, make it, do it, makes us better.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Edzard Ernst about his new book, Homeopathy, The Undiluted Truth. You can get it at Amazon.com. Also, he has a blog that he writes, and his blog website is his name, EDZARDERNST.com. So you can learn more about them there. So, Dr. Ernst, what of this notion that coffee could actually cure insomnia? Did they find that there was any effectiveness to that?
No. There have been a few trials on this particular homeopathic remedy, but I'm afraid they didn't prove at all that homeopathic coffee cures insomnia or even treats insomnia. But it's a good example of how homeopaths think and how the like-cures-like principle is supposed to work, but it doesn't work.
Interesting. And Dr. Hahnemann actually, I remember reading a while ago, actually thought that coffee caused a variety of diseases that he was seeing in populations back then. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. He was against patients taking all sorts of strong medication irritants, as he used to call them, tea, coffee, particularly in combination with his remedies. He actually didn't promote coffee as a homeopathic remedy. That came much later into homeopathy.
So let's talk about your book. Who is the book written for? Is it written for the clinician or the average person?
No, it's the language is very simple. So if you're interested in homeopathy, you're a layperson, you will understand the book. The book is written not for physicians, not for experts, but I hope that even experts can learn from it.
Do you talk about homeopathic remedies in the book, actual remedies that people can apply?
I talk about the history of homeopathy, the principles of homeopathy, the popularity of homeopathy, the evidence for against homeopathy, and that's about half of the book. And then the second half is just like a dictionary, which explains all these confusing things like potentiation, succussion, dilution, and so forth. So it's a combination of prose with some sort of glossary, dictionary type of appendix.
What is the evidence for homeopathy? Aside from what you just said, this more inviting more connectedness, more positive transference between the patient and the clinician. What evidence is there that homeopathy actually provides some solutions, some therapeutic solutions for different diseases? And if so, which diseases?
Well, historically, homeopaths were on a winner, so to speak. Hahnemann and his followers thought that they had really found a new law of nature, the like cures like principle. Homeopathy was becoming very, very popular early on in the history of homeopathy. Hahnemann became a celebrity, and he ended his life not in Germany but in Paris as a celebrity physician. And they had some data, surprisingly. There were epidemics during this time, deadly epidemics, cholera, typhus, etc. And homeopaths could show that patients being treated in homeopathic hospitals had significantly lower death rates than patients treated conventionally. And even today, homeopaths pride themselves of these data. But we have to be much more critical than homeopaths are of them, because we have to consider the fact that conventional medicine at the time was not helping patients.
No, they were giving people mercury to cure diseases.
They were giving people mercury. Yeah. More frequently, they were bloodletting people to death. So if you have cholera and some person takes pints and pints of blood out of you, you die. George Washington died like this.
Really?
He was bloodlet to death by his physician, not a homeopath, and he wasn't suffering from cholera. He was suffering from pneumonia. But it's a historical fact that he died not through the disease but through his physician. So if I come back to these epidemiological data where patients were treated in epidemics either homeopathically or conventionally, it is not surprising that the homeopaths who didn't do all this nonsense but only gave homeopathic remedies, which we now understand are just placebos, so basically they did nothing or very, very little for them, which is better than what the conventional doctors did. So we now understand these statistics in a totally different way and see that they do not show the effectiveness of homeopathic remedies, but the danger of the conventional medicine at the time.
Interesting.
So then we have to consider different types of approaches to either prove or disprove efficacy of homeopathy, and we now, I think, all agree that the randomized clinical trial is the way to do that. You have a group of patients saying, say they suffer from one condition, say asthma, and you divide them at random into two subgroups. You treat one group with placebo, if you can, and the other group with homeopathic remedies. And that basically is called a randomized clinical trial. And today we have several hundred of these trials. Now, if you have several hundred, by chance you will have some that are positive, and some that are negative. Therefore, you have to look, you can't cherry pick just the type of data that you like, but you have to do what is technically called a systematic review or a meta-analysis, where you take all the data, you evaluate them according to their scientific rigor, and then you create a new bottom line. And when you do that, the result inevitably and repeatedly is that homeopathic remedies are not better than placebo.
Yeah, and that's what I've always suspected. I mean, I've never really, once, maybe 18 years ago, I bought a supplement at an over-the-counter supplement at a vitamin shop, and it claimed to be real human growth hormone in a pill, a sublingual pill. And it said somatropin, and then it said 32x dilution. And so that means that they diluted it 32 times. And obviously what I was taking was a pill that was filled with a that had some sort of liquid remnants from the original batch that was diluted 32 times, which means that there was no growth hormone in it whatsoever. And because I remember calling the company and saying, I thought growth, because this is back when I just started my journey into supplements. I said to them, I thought growth hormone was by prescription only. How can you sell a growth hormone pill? And the girl said, because it's homeopathic. And I didn't understand. That didn't answer. I said, so what does that mean? She says, well, there's really very little growth hormone left in that pill. And I thought to myself, well, how can you sell it and call it a growth hormone supplement then? And, you know, that's when I started thinking about homeopathic medicine and thinking, oh, this is just a way for supplement companies and or companies that want to sell things to sell things that have no effect whatsoever. So they can't do any harm. They can't do any good. They do nothing. And I've always felt that way about homeopathic preparations. However, as you point out, if it's a 1X or 2X, then there's probably some significant amount of the original molecules still left in there. And maybe that has some value. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about Dr. Ernst's new book, Homeopathy, The Undiluted Facts. This is a great book for doctors to read, too, I would imagine. Too many physicians don't really know the history of homeopathy, and it's worth knowing. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing.
That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Edzard Ernst. His website is edzardernst.com. And you can get his book at amazon.com. Excuse me. Homeopathy, the Undiluted Facts. What about allopathic medicine, Dr. Ernst? There's a lot of people back around the time when Samuel Hahnemann was coining these terms that said that allopathic medicine was a mistake because it only treated symptoms.
Yeah, allopathic medicine is actually a term coined by Hahnemann, and he tried to differentiate his homeopathic medicine, like cures like, to allopathic medicine, where opposites cures opposites, and he used it as a derogatory term for what we now call conventional medicine. So the term comes from him, and at the time, allopathic medicine was in a very miserable state. We've already mentioned mercury, bloodletting, really terrible remedies, and one can safely say that usually the disease was less harmful than the treatment of such a disease. And people died in probably millions of the treatment. Hahnemann was a very bright man, and he studied medicine and very quickly became totally disenchanted with allopathic medicine, so much so that he actually gave up practicing medicine. He had a large family, and he had to earn some living, and he earned his bread by translating medical texts from mainly English into German. And there he came across a text from an English colleague who claimed that China bark, which was a powerful, still is a powerful malaria treatment, was curing malaria by a sort of tonic effect. And Hahnemann, who had to translate his text, disagreed with this explanation, so much so that he decided to do experiments on himself. He took increasing dosages of China bark, and lo and behold, he experienced the symptoms of malaria. And he did this repeatedly, noted carefully all his experiences and symptoms. And this is how he thought to have discovered the like cures like principle. If China is a cure, if China causes
malaria type symptoms,
malaria,
right?
It also is a cure for malaria.
But see, you and I both know that's not true, because symptoms are just a representation of what's going on in metabolic pathways, not necessarily the actual disease itself. You know, you can take certain agents that will raise your body temperature, But that doesn't mean that you have the virus that's causing a fever. I mean, so he was a little
absolutely. Absolutely. It's not true on several levels. What Hahnemann probably was suffering from is an intolerance or allergy to China bug. What you say about symptoms not being identical with the disease is certainly true, but to homeopaths, symptoms are the disease. Classical homeopaths who still believe in every word that Hahnemann has written, believe that there are no diseases. The closest you can get is by a neat description of the symptoms a patient has. And this is really another reason why homeopathy flies in the face of science.
Interesting. You must have some interesting opinions of modern medicine. Being a historian of sorts, because of your research and your experience in a variety of different disciplines, do you look at today and the heavy emphasis on pharmaceuticals that actually do harm while they treat a particular condition or symptom? They expose the patient to a variety of other conditions that could be just as damning as the disease that they're supposed to be treating. Do you find, I often wonder how doctors reconcile the idea of giving a patient a drug. For instance, there was one that we just talked about on the show. I can't think of the name of it, but it causes the user to actually excrete more glucose in the urine, something that usually happens as type 2 diabetes progresses, the kidneys fail and have a harder time embargoing metabolites and keeping them in the body. This drug actually emulates that kidney failure and leads to kidney failure over long-term use in a population that already has kidneys that are suffering, but yet it'll lower A1C. It lowers blood sugar by a measly 3%. But I wonder how physicians reconcile with using drugs whose side effects are perhaps even worse than the conditions that they treat.
Well, there's a very old principle in medicine from Hippocrates, which he formulated as first do no harm. That is impossible to apply, and in modern speak, we have to translate this into always do more good than harm. So if a drug really does more harm than good, we mustn't use it. It's as simple as that. This is why treatments, not just drugs, but any treatments, have to undergo rigorous testing, and if they are shown to be more harmful than beneficial, they're taken off the market. I don't know the drug that you're talking of, but diabetes is perhaps quite a good example. Only maybe 100 years ago, diabetes was a death sentence.
Are we talking? Wait. We're talking about type. We're talking about type 1 or type 2 right now?
Well, I'm talking about type 1 diabetes.
Yes, right. Because people did develop type 2 diabetes back in the 1700s. They called it the sugar disease, and physicians would actually taste the urine of their patients and say, "Your urine is very sweet. I believe you suffer from this sugar disease."
Yeah. Absolutely. That's how it was diagnosed, diabetes, by tasting the urine of the patient. Type 1 diabetes was a sure death sentence. Type 2 diabetes meant quite an early death. Type 1 diabetes patients used to not get 30 years of age. Today, they have just about a normal life expectancy because we have modern drugs for using them. I'm using that example to show that modern pharmaceuticals do more good than harm. I'm not sure what diabetes drug you.
I'm getting it right now. I'm looking for it as we're speaking. I'm trying to go fast here. It's called Invokana. It's a drug marketed in the United States. The actual name is canagliflozin. It's administered in 100 milligram and 300 milligram tablets. One of the side effects is over long periods of time of use is kidney failure. The way it works is the drug causes the user to pass sugar through the kidneys so it's urinated out. The same thing that occurs when type 2 diabetes worsens and causes kidney dysfunction. And it only lowers blood sugar an average of 3%. So Invokana is a drug that causes kidneys to fail, also one of the stated side effects, so that more sugar seeps out of the urine. And I say 3%, that means if your fasting blood sugar is 200, it takes it down to 194. I mean, this is a drug that the risks far outweigh the reward, but yet it's advertised on American TV. Physicians prescribe it. They prescribe it along with metformin and other diabetes-type drugs. And I say that these poor people, these side effects are worse than what it's doing for them.
Yeah, sure. If you have the side effect, I don't know this drug, and therefore I cannot defend it. But one thing is for certain about side effects: not all people have side effects. Even aspirin has dramatic side effects in very rare cases. Less dramatic side effects in more frequent cases. So you have to account for the frequency of the side effect. If you have a drug that can potentially save millions of lives, but kills maybe out of these millions 20 people, how would you judge that drug? How would you balance?
I'm going to answer your question frankly. If I'm one of the 20 people that's going to die from it, or one of my loved ones is one of the 20 people that that's going to die from it, I'm not happy about it. See,
there is nothing in life that is without risk. Wait a second.
I have to
by a tire, and that happens in one of 10 million cases. Say, so you would say, don't go ever out of your house.
No, but here's what I'm saying. In the case of type 2 diabetes, type 2 diabetes is a metabolic disorder that has to do exclusively and unconditionally with lifestyle. The foods you eat, the inactivity, you don't adhere to good sleep. Type 2 diabetes is what I like to call acquired diabetes, because unlike type 1, which we now know has more autoimmune features than we knew before, where the pancreas fails completely, they have to be put on insulin. And most type 1 diabetics take good care of their bodies because they know this. Type 2 diabetes is an acquired disease. In fact, it's not even a disease. It's a condition. It's acquired, and it can be completely reversed. Completely reversed in 98% of the sufferers within 6 months without drugs. But doctors don't do that. They prescribe drugs.
The problem is that you have a population that doesn't exercise and overeats, continues to overeat, and prefers to take pills. If I had a diabetes patient, I haven't seen patients, by the way, for more than 20 years, and my speciality wasn't diabetes. But if I tomorrow saw a diabetes patient, I would of course say, you have type 2 diabetes. It is caused by you being sedentary and eating the wrong foods. So I would send them to a nutritionist, and I would perhaps advise them on exercise, and see that patient again in 3 weeks. I would measure blood sugar and other things, body weight, etc., and I would find out that this patient does bugger all of what I'm saying.
Right.
So what do I do? Do I let this patient die, or do I give him a drug?
You know, this is a debate, a philosophical debate that I have had numerous times.
And it has nothing to do with homeopathy.
No.
I'm just telling you my
No. And I appreciate your frankness. I want to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the discussion talking about the book, Homeopathy, the Undiluted Facts. You can get it at Amazon.com, or you can go to the Good Doctor's blog. It is edzardernst.com to learn more about what he's thinking about. We'll be right back.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using Can-See eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit Can-See eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. Can-See eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse Can-See eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how Can-See eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Edzard Ernst about his new book, Homeopathy, The Undiluted Facts. So we just got a message on Facebook, someone who's listening to the show live. His name is Troy Willoughby. He said, how does the good doctor feel about cholesterol medications? What are your opinions of cholesterol medications? Any opinions at all?
No, I don't have opinions about cholesterol medication. I think probably, and that's not a very informed opinion, probably the cholesterol story was hyped by all sorts of interest groups, and it's much more complicated. There's good cholesterol, bad cholesterol, et cetera, et cetera. But I think we all know that. Cholesterol is not as important as a risk factor as we thought. And medication, cholesterol should, just like diabetes, first try to be lowered by proper diet and exercise first before you start medication, before you consider medication.
Yeah. I agree with you there. So what do you hope people who read this book take away from it, Dr. Ernst?
I think there are far too many misunderstandings about homeopathy, so I'm trying to just provide very soberly the facts about homeopathy in order to clear up these misunderstandings. What we haven't mentioned is that millions of people presently use homeopathy. And I think they could do better. If they understand what homeopathy is, they might look for something that actually does work. Homeopathy is still very, very popular in South America. It's quite popular in North America. It is very popular in Germany, where I grew up, quite popular in England, but surprisingly popular in India, for instance, where we have thousands of homeopathic hospitals and tens of thousands of homeopathic practitioners. In the United States, when homeopathy first started, it was surprisingly popular. We had more than 60 homeopathic hospitals in North America, and then the decline started about 100 years ago because other medications, proper effective medications, came in, because there was lots of infighting between different fractions of American homeopaths, and because the standards were raised in medical schools in general in America. Previously, there had been just sort of factories for dubious doctors of all kinds, and about 100 years ago, the standards were significantly raised. And this is where homeopathic medical schools sort of had to stay behind, because they had lower standards. And today we have not a single homeopathic medical school in America, and not a single homeopathic hospital, as far as I know.
Yeah, and it is something that could potentially provide some therapeutic benefits, no doubt about it. Look, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I think it's an important discussion. Another thing that I love was that Dr. Samuel Hahnemann lived to be 88 years old. We constantly hear from the medical orthodoxy today that people are living longer. And that, you know what? It baffles me when they say that. If we were living longer, by now we should be living to be 140. People have been regularly living into the 7th, 8th, and 9th decade of life since recorded history. I understand that more people died from infectious disease and poor and diseases related to poor sanitation back then. And if you were injured, chances are you were going to die from that. Medicine has made great contributions into emergency medical care, where they actually save people from dying. I think we need to get better at treating chronic disease than we are right now. But that's probably something that the next generation and the generation after that is going to have to deal with. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It's a great book. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to kind of talk about like treating like. So the standard of care for prostate cancer today is androgen deprivation therapy. Shut down testosterone production completely. It's really a horrible situation. I know a fellow who's going through it. What if testosterone therapy could actually be the treatment? Could it be possible? We're going to find out. Stay tuned.
Something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. This is a really exciting interview. You know, every now and then, something interesting, really interesting, that piques my interest within the scientific community happens. And in the area of therapeutic approaches for treating diseases, the standard of care for prostate cancer today is androgen deprivation therapy. They give you long-acting gonadotropin-releasing hormones that basically exhaust the pituitary testicular hypothalamic axis, and the testes just can't produce any more testosterone, and your testosterone drops to that of a six-year-old girl, and they keep you there for prolonged periods of time because the notion is that testosterone leads to prostate cancer, or at least one of the metabolites, maybe DHT. We did a show about 5 or 6 years ago. I believe it was a scientist from Rutgers University who wrote a position paper for the American Cancer Society's journal saying that after doing a rigorous meta-analysis of all the research that androgens were not the problem and that doctors should not be afraid of testosterone when it leads to prostate cancer. But for some reason, doctors never got that message. Here comes a study that I would thank Daniel Orego for sending to me the day that it was released, saying that maybe there's a chance that something magical happens when you treat a person who has prostate cancer with testosterone. And that flies in the face of not only common wisdom, but everything that we know up to this point. And my next guest is from Johns Hopkins, Dr. Samuel Denmead. How you doing, Dr. Denmead?
I'm doing great, today, Carl. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Dude, you're my hero right now. I got to be honest with you, okay? No, I'm serious. And I know there's more to it, and we're going to get into it, and it's not. But just the idea that, you know, remember the old Dr. Pepper commercials? Be a pepper, like stand out. Don't do like everybody else drinking cola.
Yes. It's like, I remember it well.
You're a pepper, man. You're like, wait a minute. Why are we doing this? What about this? What made you do this study? What led you in that direction?
Well, first of all, I need to shout out to one of my heroes, a person by the name of Charles Huggins. No one knows who he is. Probably your listeners, maybe they do. They're an educated group. He's the guy that won the Nobel Prize for understanding that hormone deprivation could be used to treat prostate cancer. And he wrote in his, he understood and wrote about using both suppression and overstimulation as treatment. In fact, in his Nobel Prize speech in the 60s, he ends the speech by saying another way to treat prostate cancer would be to give too much hormones. Of course, that was all completely ignored, and no one really did much with that clinically. We spent all of our time in the last 70 years getting very sophisticated ways to suppress testosterone. Over the years, many people have shown that you could give cells in the laboratory hormone therapy, androgen therapy, and paradoxically, instead of making them grow better, they would grow slower or they would die. But no one ever really did a clinical trial to show that in any kind of organized way. So I was fortunate enough to get some money from one of my patients who started a foundation while he was dealing with prostate cancer. He gave me a little bit of money and told me to do whatever I want with it. And I had always been intrigued by this finding. And so we did a small pilot study a couple years ago. And to our surprise, found some pretty exciting results when we gave high-dose testosterone as a therapy.
Okay. So I have lots of questions, especially as a 58-year-old man who's been on testosterone therapy since 2007, right? This is even more intriguing to me. With that being said, what is considered high-dose testosterone?
Well, I think high-dose testosterone, high level would be a better way to say it. So what we're giving the men in our trial is FDA-approved dose. It's 400 milligrams a month. And what we were trying to achieve, we think there's something about shocking the cancer. The cancer cells are very adaptive, so they learn how to live in low testosterone, and they learn how to survive, and they learn how to thrive. We find that if we give them a pulse of testosterone,
So when we give that dose of testosterone, the serum level goes quite high, but only for a short time.
Right.
And then begins to drop back down. And by the end of a 28-day cycle, the men are almost back to castrate again. So we're not just giving them testosterone, we're sort of pulsing them with testosterone.
Okay, so what are you using, like a cypionate ester?
Cypionate. We've used both cypionate and enanthate. They're fairly interchangeable, and we found that different groups that we interact with, their pharmacies carry one or the other.
Right. And so the slower the ester, the slightly more conversion to estradiol. I want to bring that back into the conversation later. But with that being said, cypionate, the pharmacokinetics of cypionate is that 50% of it is released within the first 4 or 5 days, and then the other 50% trails off over the course of a few weeks until it's pretty much gone. And in fact, bodybuilders have learned, and I want to inject this now, no pun intended, because this may play into some of the discussion. Bodybuilders know that if you just do a once a week shot, a once a week shot or a once a month shot of a long acting ester like undecanoate, you end up with more of the side effects, the unwanted effects of testosterone, oily sebaceous production, male pattern baldness, tender nipples, as opposed to giving yourself twice a week shots and keeping levels stable. So this kind of speaks to the pulsatile nature that you're tapping into here.
Yes, we were looking for a form of testosterone that we could get a high level and then a fall off. Unfortunately, there aren't a lot of preparations that were available to us other than the esters. We didn't want to use an oral testosterone.
Yeah, hepatic, and then the hepatic conversion comes into play, and that screws
everything
up.
And we were concerned, all the laboratory findings we had done suggested that getting the testosterone level super physiologic, so pretty high, transiently, was important. And what we saw was you couldn't do that easily with things like androgel or all the other preparations.
What about propionate and or even suspension? Suspension, I mean, has a half life of, I think, like 6 hours, and propionate has a half life of 2.5 days.
Well, we couldn't figure out how to get propionate for the trial.
Okay.
And the suspension, we also didn't want to have the guys come in and get treated
every day
that frequently. Yeah, so. Yeah. Kind of looking at everything that was available to us, we thought that was the best way to go. What we were hoping to do in the future, if you have any bright chemists listening, another way to go with this would potentially be to do some type of cream where we could put a higher amount of testosterone in the cream and get more of a square wave where we can control on and off. Because one of the things we see with the cypionate is it's pretty controlled, the peak, but the trail off is quite variable. So some of the men, by a month, are almost back to castrate. Some of the men are still pretty high in their testosterone. So getting this kind of off and on that we were achieving, we don't have that much control. But it's really the best thing we can do right now.
Well, and then also we need to look at research that was done by Dr. Bashir and his group many years ago. They did one study where they looked at a high dose of testosterone in both young and old men, and what we learned out was that what we learned from that study was older men, they seem to have fewer receptors in the liver to flush testosterone out. This could be an evolutionary gift because the assumption is as we age, we produce less testosterone, so the body becomes more efficient at sequestering more of it in the body. And so older men may not see that drop off that you're looking for because their bodies are right. So efficient at holding on to testosterone.
That's a good point. We have not looked at that in terms of age, and you know, these are kind of data things we need to look at once we get enough information about how does the metabolism of this differ across age groups, and then is there something to, I mean, do the men who drop more respond better, or the men who don't drop respond better? Is it better to give it maybe more chronically and not pulsatile?
Okay.
I mean, a lot of questions.
One more thing I want to throw in here and just get a brief response from you. Then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to focus specifically on the research. So we know from a couple really well-done studies that orgasm seems to bulletproof the prostate. When you're young, the more orgasms you have, and as you age, the more orgasms you have, the least likely you'll succumb to BPH and or aggressive prostate cancers in general. One study that was done on a large population of men, I can't remember, we talked about it on this show years ago, but they actually gave a summary. They said men who were having 22 orgasms a month, their risk for prostate cancer was zero. Men who were having 15, their risk for prostate cancer was like six. And they and there was a direct dose-related response to orgasm and healthy prostate. Anything going on in orgasm that we can tie to the whole my theory is use it or lose it, but is there anything that we could tie to the orgasm that we can kind of fold into this discussion here?
Yeah, I don't know if that relates to the testosterone level. I mean, I think the thinking of the orgasm story is that you're basically decreasing exposure to potential carcinogens that might get into the prostate. The prostate is sort of a gland that filters things, and so it's possible that, you know, you're basically the other thing we know about the prostate is it's a gland that gets very inflamed, and inflammation is associated with cancer. And it's possible that, you know, again, the more you use it, the less inflamed it is. It's sort of happy and it doesn't get inflamed. I don't think anybody studied it in that way, though. So far, it's just been this observation, you know, linking more orgasm with less risk of prostate cancer. But
what I find most interesting about the research is that anyone who knows, who's went and gotten a PSA test the morning after engaging in sex, you know that orgasm raises PSA acutely, dramatically. And in fact, some doctors, you know, your PSA test every year is like 0.04, and then one day you come in and it's 1, and your doctor will say to you, did you have sex the night before this? Yeah, oh, okay, well, let's not worry about it right now. So PSA elevates in the face of an orgasm, which is kind of counterintuitive when you think that that orgasm protects the prostate from cancer. You know what I mean?
Well, I think you need to understand that, I mean, the prostate is a muscle, and it's a muscle filled with PSA. So very little of that PSA leaks out of the muscle, but when you squeeze that muscle and have an orgasm, it's possible you're just getting increased leakage. And that's why the level goes up transiently.
Interesting.
The same thing as when the urologist rubs on it and, you know, does an exam, that can also leak some out. So I think that's probably what's happening there, not kind of what you were driving at.
Okay. I want to take our first break. When we come back, I want to talk specifically about this research, what you learned and what we can learn from that. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Now I'm lost. I'm screaming for help.
Welcome back. I'm excited about this interview because I have a funny feeling that years from now, people are going to look back at this research and go, what the hell have we been doing to men? We're talking right now with Dr. Samuel Denmead from Johns Hopkins University, and we're talking about prostate cancer and maybe a different way to treat prostate cancer. So let's talk about your research. How was the study designed, Dr. Denmead?
So we've done a couple studies, actually, and most the standard design has been to take men who have been long-term castrated, usually more than a year, and also men who are also their disease is getting worse after not just primary castration, but a second hormone therapy or several. And we think those are our men to treat because we want to take advantage of the fact that the cancer has adapted to the low testosterone, and we have some ideas that what it does, it makes itself vulnerable to high testosterone because of the way it upregulates and increases all of the machinery, androgen receptor, all those things kind of get way overproduced in a low testosterone environment. So we take those men, and the other thing, a key thing for those men is we want them to be asymptomatic. So a lot of these men have cancer in the bone. We've seen in the past other studies, our studies, that if you give testosterone to a man with bone pain, it gets considerably worse very fast. We're not really sure why, and we're studying that, but so we've excluded those men. And then the men get a dose of, if they meet all the other criteria, they get a dose of testosterone every month. We keep them on their hormone therapy because we want to keep their endogenous testosterone clamped so that
right.
we can control the highs and the lows.
Right.
And then we give everybody 3 months. Three injections to see if they respond. And we've seen three different groups of men. One group of men has a remarkable response, probably about a third of the men, where their PSA levels drop sometimes, you know, by several hundred points in a month. Their disease gets smaller. Other men, we see the PSA either goes up a little bit or stays stable, and their disease stays stable. And then we have a third group of men that don't respond at all. We keep them on the testosterone as long as either their PSA marker's gone down, or in some cases, as long as they're feeling okay and their disease isn't getting any worse. And then what we found is the other part of our study that I find interesting is once it looks like the disease has kind of readapted to the testosterone we're giving it them, we re-expose them to low testosterone again, and we've sort of been able to resensitize. And in some cases, we've been able to do this a couple times where we give high and then low and then high again. So we're sort of taking advantage of the cell's ability to adapt and kind of stay in one step ahead of it, so to speak.
Are you looking at downstream metabolites of testosterone, DHT, the nortestosterone isoforms? Are you looking at any other metabolites?
Yeah, so we're kind of a limited way. We're looking at estradiol, DHT, free testosterone, and DHEA. Not really any of the metabolites more sophisticated than that, and part of that's just based on how much funding we have to do the study. We get a lot of discussion about could this be an estradiol effect. So far, given it this pulsatile way, we have not seen big increases in the estradiol level in the men. And the other thing I'll say is in the laboratory at least, we see this effect with using synthetic androgens that cannot be aromatized. So it definitely seems like it's an androgen effect, not an estrogen effect. And I must just to say that for many years, I tried giving men estrogen with prostate cancer, and I really saw almost nobody respond to that. So I really think this is androgen. Whether it's testosterone or whether it's another form, I don't know, but I don't think it's an estrogen effect.
Okay. Do these men keep a diary while they're in the study?
They do not keep a diary, but they definitely tell me stories.
Libido. What's going on with libido? I mean, these guys that are on androgen deprivation therapy, I know someone. I feel bad for them. I mean, they develop almost spontaneously type 2 diabetes. Visceral fat goes through the roof. Lethargy, depression. I mean, it's really a very, very sad thing. It really is almost barbaric to some men who the side effects are really deleterious. Do any of these men feel they develop a libido when they're back on testosterone?
Yeah, big time.
So here's the $64 million question, Dr. Denmead. Are they having sex? And are the ones that are having sex the ones that are seeing the greatest response?
Well, I think, unfortunately, many of these men come in the door with prior treatment. They've had their prostate removed. They've had their prostate irradiated. And so a number of them are impotent because of the damage to their,
vesicles, seminal organs, because
of the treatment. So those men, even though we give them testosterone and their libido increases, that we can't sort of restart kind of a dead horse, so to speak.
Not even with prostaglandin type injections like Cavaject and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not even with those, huh?
Sometimes, but a lot of times, no.
Okay. I never knew. I thought I'd ask.
In those men who have, things can work if they weren't castrated, definitely that is a huge benefit. And, it's one of the most satisfying treatments I've ever given anybody because patients want to hug me. They don't want to come off the treatment. They ask to stay on a little longer just to get through the summer.
The wives are calling you going, look, don't take them off this stuff right now, please.
We had one man who stayed on for 3 years because he was – one, his muscle tone got so much better, and he was having sex again, and he was extremely happy. And even though his PSA started to rise slowly, he wanted to stay on. And in the end, he started just paying for the testosterone himself because we kind of ran out of money on the study. We've also had, some issues. We give this to 80-year-old folks, and they have the libido they had when they were in high school. And it's kind of an interesting thing to watch.
Well, we talked a few years ago. Those two studies came out that damned testosterone. They were done in sick populations. Some of these men were stinted, and then they were put on testosterone therapy, and they had further events. And one of the questions I asked the scientist that I interviewed once about one of those studies was, did you tell these guys, now look, you can barely run up a flight of stairs right now. You're going to want to start having sex. You can't just start having sex. Just because you feel great doesn't mean your body's ready for it. Take it slow, because that could have precipitated some of these cardiac events that these poor guys ended up with. It wasn't the testosterone directly. It was that they felt better and they thought, oh, I can run up the stairs again.
Yeah, that's a good point, and we do try to advise them that. And in that regard, we've had, just as an anecdote, to see how well some of these patients feel. We had a man who was 70, and he used to be a surfer when he was young, and he felt so good on the testosterone, he decided he would start surfing again, and unfortunately fell off the surfboard, broke his neck, had to go in the hospital, and we had to decide if this was a side effect that was, we had to say was due to testosterone or not, and we struggled with that a little bit. But we've seen a lot of the older men really pick up their, just their energy and their functional activity really seems to pick up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Where they just feel like doing things again and going out and just, you know, being in society, and they just don't feel, like they can't get out of bed even.
That's
been a great thing.
And I'll tell you something. We have to take a break, but I want to just share something with you. So I got on a testosterone replacement therapy in 2007. And within 2 weeks, I felt remarkable. And the analogy I tell my audience when I started talking about, because I talked about it on the show, I said, imagine living in a warehouse with 100 overhead lights. And every year, just one bulb goes out. So the transition from year to year is not very noticeable. But by the time you're 50 years old, someone comes in and in one day replaces 50 bulbs, and you go, holy crap, is this how bright it used to be in here? That's what happened when I got on testosterone. It was like, and you know, I was already training. I was already a very strong person. So it wasn't like I was a couch potato and now I'm going to go out and start running and have, I mean, I was in good shape already. But the reality is that we shouldn't be afraid of that. We just need to counsel men and say, look, for the first 6 months, you're going to feel like doing stuff. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Give your body a chance to get up to the job, because your brain wants to do it now, but your body's just not ready for it. That's really a good point. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get more into this research. Stay tuned.
Know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world.
Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, livonlabs.com.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Tomorrow never comes until it's...
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Samuel Denamede from Johns Hopkins about this really intriguing research on using testosterone in kind of a pulsatile fashion to suppress prostate cancer. I mean, it's really exciting stuff. And really, I can see men dealing with this a lot better than years and years of androgen deprivation therapy. Very, very sad. So when you say that you saw a regression in their prostate cancer, you point to PSA. Is PSA still a valid thing to look at? Is it kind of like, well, we've been using it forever, so let's keep using it? I mean, I did a show probably 5 years ago where they found what is considered PSA in breast tissue of women with breast cancer. Is it still valid in the discussion about prostate cancer?
So, you know, there's some controversy about using PSA to screen men for prostate cancer because all men have PSA, and some men it gets higher from BPH, other inflammation in the prostate. So it's more complicated to use it in the screening. But in treating patients with prostate cancer, we do find it very useful as a marker to at least give us something that tells us we're potentially doing something to the cancer. We think less PSA usually means less cancer cells producing PSA. Not always perfect, but we still use it a lot for that. We also rely on, you know, doing CAT scans and other scans to look for disease shrinking. And there's a lot of research trying to do better than that. Those are still pretty crude tools looking at more sophisticated ways to image the cancer, better markers than PSA. But right now, those are kind of the things we have to look at. And what's intriguing about the testosterone treatment is PSA is a gene that's directly stimulated by testosterone. So what's striking in the study we're doing is that the PSA goes down at all. We, in the laboratory, we will see the tumor shrink, but the PSA still goes up. So it suggests that we're sometimes getting a very profound effect when the PSA goes down because we're really knocking the cancer down, I think, to make that happen.
Interesting. So I've got so many different questions. I just want to see where I should start. Talking about the shrinkage itself of the tumor, and does this remodeling also occur not just in the cancer itself, but in the whole prostate? Like in the case of BPH, do we see changes in just general hypertrophy of the prostate in the presence of the testosterone therapy?
Well, in this case, we're looking more at not the prostate necessarily, but actually metastases. And so we look at lymph nodes and bone and liver, you know, those kind of places. Those are the kind of guys I'm treating. So we see in some of the men, those things get a lot smaller. Occasionally, we see them disappear completely. We haven't really looked at the prostate itself other than following symptoms. One of our concerns was, yeah, maybe we'll shrink the cancer or affect the cancer, but what will we do to the normal prostate? Will it grow? Will it cause urinary problems? And we've been really careful about that, and we don't allow men on who have big problems with a blocked prostate, but we haven't really seen that happen, so we haven't seen a lot of urinary problems from this treatment. So whether that means the prostate can only get so big or the BPH is not a necessarily as responsive to testosterone as the rest of the prostate, I don't know. We haven't really been digging into that more than just symptoms.
Well, and the reason I ask that is because plenty of good research out there within the exercise physiology community, when they look at the effects of testosterone levels on nitric oxide synthase, there's a clear correlate between testosterone levels and the production of nitric oxide. And so when we look at that in a parallel universe of PDE5 inhibitors seems to reduce BPH in men because of the nitric oxide synthase effect within prostate tissue, one would have to wonder if the testosterone is working in that pathway, because testosterone improves nitric oxide function in all tissue throughout the body, from blood vessels and arteries to muscles to everything.
That's a good point. I mean, we have tried to look at, our concern was making things worse. We have done, we asked the men a lot of questions about their urinary symptoms, and so far we have really seen no big change either way. We haven't seen things get better. We haven't seen things get worse. So men who have issues continue to have issues, and men who don't have issues, don't develop any issues. So that's pretty much how we've looked at it.
You use this term that the therapy apparently shocks. You use this term shocks the prostate or shocks the cancer cells. What do you mean by shocks, and what pathway can you kind of postulate that it's doing this?
So first, if you look at castration, I mean, it's a shock to the person because they're suddenly, impotent and everything. But it's also a shock to the cancer because it relies on androgen as its main survival factor. So when you suddenly take it away, there's a dramatic effect on the cancer. Now that effect happens right away within the first few months, and then the cells kind of that don't die kind of go dormant and chill out and figure out how to live in this new environment. We think one of the things they do, or the major thing they do, is figure out ways to still use the androgen receptor, which is the thing that in the cell that binds to the androgen. And they make dramatic changes. They might increase how much androgen receptor is there, maybe 100,000-fold. They make mutations in the androgen receptor. They change it in many ways because they still need it to work. And they're able to live by sopping up every last drop of testosterone by having so much extra androgen receptor. The androgen receptor, we think, has to, when the cell tries to grow, it has to be chewed up in the cell and then remade. So if there's too much there and the cell tries to grow, it screws up its whole ability to go and make a daughter. Mm-hmm. When you give androgen, it stabilizes the androgen receptor, and so it can't be fully degraded. And so when the cell tries to grow, it's kind of out of sync, and instead of growing, it dies. That's kind of the mechanism we've been working on. So we're taking advantage of the cell's adaptation by going too high with the receptor. We kind of overdose it, so to speak,
and it can't handle that.
Interesting, too, that you point out a phenomenon that's well understood amongst performance-enhancing drug users and why they usually do something called a blast and a cruise, where they will oscillate their testosterone use or androgen use. I mean, it could be trenbolone and whatever, of periods of very, very high superphysiological doses to moderately low superphysiological doses. And that is that the landscape of the androgen receptor biogenesis and proliferation changes. So in the presence of lower androgens, the body produces more androgen receptors to try to maximize what little androgens are circulating. But then in chronic super, very, very high superphysiological levels, the androgen receptors seem to downregulate.
Yes, exactly.
And so that actually is playing a role in the success of your approach here, right?
Yeah, so we think that, that's a key point you made, that one way to get the androgen receptor to go back down is to give it the cell what it wants, which is androgen. And over time, it retunes down to low androgen receptor again, and now it starts to be stimulated by the testosterone rather than inhibited. And that's at the point where we think going to low testosterone again could be therapeutic, because we've put it back in the state where we want it. And that's why we think, for at least the cancer treatment, you know, again, akin to what you just said for the bodybuilder, a person on steroids for a long time, their androgen receptor, I would suspect it would get less and less effective, and that you would need a period where you sort of have to reset,
uh-huh,
to bring those levels back up to a normal level.
And just to share something with you from within the bodybuilding community, it is there's some research out there that L-carnitine L-tartrate has an effect on upregulating androgen receptor proliferation, even in the presence of high androgen levels. So that might be something interesting. The other thing I want to ask you about, hold that thought. I want to take our last break. I want you to go ahead and mention, if you feel like commenting on the L-carnitine L-tartrate, but also the role of potentially using SARMs in this therapeutically. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the last segment of Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period.
Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Samuel Denmead about this really intriguing study on using testosterone therapy in an oscillatory fashion to treat prostate cancer. And hopefully this will lead to a new standard of care for men. I mentioned L-carnitine, L-tartrate. I didn't know if I cut you off and you wanted to comment on that or not.
Well, I don't know a lot about that, but the idea that you're proposing is something we've thought about. I mean, based on what I just told you, how this works, if we could figure out some way to increase the androgen receptor in the cell, it's possible that the testosterone would work better. And we've thought of other ways to do that. I don't know, it's an area to read about what you just mentioned, but again, that would be a strategy to potentially synergize with what we're doing.
Well, and then the other question becomes, what about androgens with greater affinity to the androgen receptor? Like, and even though it's a progestin, it's a super powerful androgen, and even in very, 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 very minuscule doses, trenbolone, an anthate, or even the short-acting acetate, that stays parked in the receptor, I think, four times longer than just the testosterone molecule.
Well, I will tell you that when I first started doing this, I thought a lot about what would be the bright steroid. And, you know, I have to play within what's FDA approved to do the study. I actually went on one of the steroid, I think it's called Steroidology, one of the websites, and actually got on the chat room there and asked some of the bodybuilders, like, hey, this is what I'm looking for in a steroid. I needed to be androgenic. I needed to do this, this, and this. And I got a couple of guys gave me some advice, and trenbolone was one of them. The problem, of course, is, you know, doing that in a legitimate way.
Yeah. Not,
well, you know, I mean, getting a source of that, and the, you know, you got to get approval from the FDA, etc. But
they're never,
yeah, definitely.
They're never gonna do it. Yeah, they're never going to do it. And you don't want to.
Definitely with you. I mean, the problem I have is one of the problems with this approach is this is cheap stuff. It's testosterone. There's no pharmaceutical company driving this. So the studies I'm doing, I've had to, you know, get grants, get the government to help.
Yeah.
But, you know, moving this forward into a bigger mainstream kind of approach, it's going to require bigger studies, bigger funding. Not quite sure yet how to do that. I'm going to keep working it, but you know, without being able to patent the thing and having a drug company come in with all of its resources, it's difficult to pull off.
Well, and I'm also a firm believer that testosterone naturally occurs in the body, and if you can get that to work, that's what you should use, because there are other things that are magical about testosterone that are wonderful for the body than about testosterone, and the body knows what to do with testosterone. You know, so I'm a big proponent of, you know, I asked you about SARMs, but I don't like SARMs. It's like, why use a SARM when you can use testosterone? You know, we've evolved with testosterone in our body. We didn't evolve with MK61352 in our body. You know what I mean?
Well, but the problem is you can't patent testosterone, but you can patent MK61352. And so, you know, the interest is coming up with something that you can sell and, you know, make profit from. And I don't, you know, I don't begrudge folks that, but I think I agree with you,
And we're just going to sort of stay in mom-and-pop kind of mode and hopefully get enough data. We do have a big study. I'll kind of put an advertisement out there for we were fortunate to get some money from the Department of Defense, which funds a lot of prostate cancer research. And this is a funding to do a big study with testosterone. So we're at 17 different sites around the country. We're going head-to-head with one of the main anti-androgens with testosterone. So we're trying to see if testosterone's better than an anti-androgen. And so we're trying to get as many patients as we can who fit the study and you know, get that done in a as quick as possible. Because if that turns out to be positive as a study that we're better, that testosterone is better than anti-testosterone, then I think that would give us a lot of momentum to take this to the next level.
Okay, so if people are listening to the show and they would like to, volunteer to be part of a study, how do they go and find out more about this?
The study itself is on this website called clinicaltrials.gov.
Okay.
And they would just search for testosterone or my name, Denmead. They could also look me up on the internet. It's pretty easy to find me. And, you know, I could certainly, particularly if they're not near Baltimore where I live, if there's if they're eligible for the study and there's a place nearby, I could steer them to it.
Okay, so here's what I want to say about going head-to-head against the anti-androgen deprivation approach. Even if your approach is exactly no better and no worse than the anti-androgen approach, you have to win. Because many of these men that are on androgen deprivation therapy die from other causes. Namely, they become spontaneously insulin resistant. They
Yes.
start to lose bone mass. They become frail. They become depressed. They have to be put on a variety of other pharmaceutical drugs just to cope with the lack of androgens. So I say, if you're a point lower than anti-androgen, you win because you don't come along with all of that other garbage.
Particularly the new anti-androgens, we find that they're very potent, but they also cause really sometimes profound fatigue. These men really just can't do anything. So I agree with you. You know, we're hoping that we win on many levels, and it is better. But even if we are similar, now if we're similar, will that be exciting enough that we could take it to the next level? I don't know. The study's designed to be better.
You know what my fear? You know what my fear is? Anytime. Okay, so I was talking to a doctor one time, and I told him that I was taking melatonin to help me sleep. And he looked at me and goes, you know melatonin's a hormone, right? Like this, like, oh no, it is. It's like, that's bad for you, right? No, wait a minute. I've been born with hormones. I've lived my entire life with hormones. What I don't have in me is Lunestra. You know, I'm not deficient in Lunestra, doc. And my fear is the medical orthodoxy. Once you start talking testosterone, they become like, they become deaf. Like, oh, no. That's testosterone. That stuff is used, by baseball players and we can't be doing that. And that stuff is harmful. It's like, it's not harmful. It's not dangerous. And our bodies have evolved to use it. This should be the way to go. So I am rooting for you. I am rooting for you. I really am.
Well, one of the problems with the fact that steroids are, you know, have the taint that they do is, it's made it seem like the dark side, and we don't study it. There's a lot to learn there that we should be studying, and we're not because it has such a taint over it. By the way, you should do a whole show on melatonin because it's fascinating.
Oh, Dr. Russell Ryder. Do you know who he is?
Yes, I do.
He's the godfather of the pineal gland. I just shared emails with him the other day. He's been on my show 6 times in the past 11 years. We've done some fantastic shows. He even did a study when Ebola was a problem. They showed that high doses of melatonin can actually suppress the Ebola virus.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of data that links potentially screwed up melatonin levels with prostate cancer. So.
Oh, with all cancers. That's why, with all cancers. I put my blue blockers on at 7 o'clock at night and I go to bed at 9 because I protect my sleep. I'm a huge proponent of sleeping the way we were designed to sleep. So I'm with you on this one. So is the audience.
A few years ago, I wrote a review of the history of prostate cancer treatment and started looking back and, you know, in the turn of the century, 1900s, it's actually kind of a rare disease. and then it becomes quite common. Now it's the most common disease. And what's kind of interesting is right around the time the electric light got invented, we started to have an increase in the when our melatonin levels would get all screwed up because we don't have, you know, just day and night cycles.
Right.
So it's kind of fascinating research area.
Yeah. Very, very cool stuff.
Off topic.
Okay, so with that being said, I want you back on the show as soon as you have something new to tell us, okay?
I'd love to. I hope to have some results from this big study we're doing in about a year, and maybe we can come back and update your audience.
We're rooting for you, Dr. Denmead. This audience
I
is
really
rooting
appreciate
for
it.
You.
I really enjoyed talking to you.
Listen, you take care.
All right, thanks, sir.
All right, bye-bye. All right, so we want to thank Dr. Samuel Denmead, and if you are interested in Maybe you know someone who has prostate cancer, this is an exciting study to be involved with because you'll actually feel better while they cure your cancer. Also, I want to thank Dr. Edzard Ernst, EDZARDERNST.com is his blog, and his book is Homeopathy, the Undiluted Facts, and you get it at Amazon.com. Today's only Monday. We're already hitting home runs. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Dessert again.